You're listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
This is Laura Bailey with the University of Michigan News Service in the School of Public Health. I'm talking today with Assistant Professor John Meeker, whose recent paper is the first large-scale study that supports previous results in smaller studies that there is a connection between chemicals called phthalates and BPA and disruptions in thyroid function. These chemicals are found in solvents, household and personal care products, and other commonly used consumer products. Can you tell us what prompted scientists to start questioning whether these compounds are toxic to humans?
Well, it was a combination of things, really. For one, reports of endocrine disruption in laboratory animals and wildlife in relation to exposure began to surface. That was then coupled with recent reports of widespread human exposure to these compounds in many parts of the world, in addition to evidence for increasing rates of endocrine-related disorders over the past several decades.
Can you explain what thyroid hormones do in the body and talk about some of the health consequences when thyroid function is impacted?
Thyroid hormones play an important role in the human body related to metabolism and energy balance. They're also vital to many systems, including reproductive, cardiovascular, respiratory, and skeletal systems. Thyroid hormones are also extremely important for fetal and child development, including development of the brain. And because children and pregnant women are routinely exposed to these chemicals, exposure does adversely affect normal development, the potential impacts on public health and society in general would be huge.
What are some of the theories regarding how these toxins act on the thyroid to change its function?
Because the research on this is limited, it remains unclear. There is evidence that high levels of exposure may impact the thyroid gland directly. Lower levels of exposure typically experienced among humans could result in changes in thyroid hormones in a variety of ways. This may include alterations in how it's made, how it's released and transported, how it's used by the cells, or how it's metabolized. More research is needed to pinpoint the specific mechanisms involved.
So where can people get information about these chemicals, and can people do anything to limit exposure?
As you can guess, there's an endless supply of information or misinformation available on the web, but perhaps the most reliable sources with fact sheets and documentation related to risk assessment are governmental sources such as Center for Disease Control, the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, known as ATSDR, and the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, or NIEHS. There's also some good information available from other sources, such as the chemical producers and industry groups, or environmental health advocacy organizations. But you will find that the information and interpretation from these two sources many times will not be consistent with one another. As for reducing one's exposure, avoiding products that have these chemicals in them would probably be the simplest way for people to reduce their exposure. However, since these products do not have to be labeled as to whether or not they contain these chemicals, and because there may be other sources such as the food we eat or the dust in our homes, cars, or offices, reducing one's exposure may not be as simple as we think.
So is the government doing anything now to regulate these compounds, and should they be doing more?
Governments vary greatly in their approach to this at both the national and local level. Here in the U.S., several phthalates have been banned from use in children's toys. However, it's unclear whether this would be an effective approach in reducing human health risks, since the primary exposure source for most people could be through their diet or through the use of personal care products. It depends on the specific phthalate. Many scientists have been calling for a change in the way chemicals are regulated in this country, as our system is thought to be reactionary rather than precautionary. Even in the rare event that a chemical does become banned or regulated in the U.S., its use may simply be replaced with another chemical whose toxicity is much less understood.
Meeker is with the University of Michigan School of Public Health. His research expertise includes exposure science and environmental epidemiology. This has been Laura Bailey with the University of Michigan News Service in the School of Public Health.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.